Welcome to TLDR with Tony and Luke. I'm Luke.
And I'm Tony.
Join us as we find out what happens. Well, we know what happens when a video game gets turned into a movie. Yes. What happens when a video game gets turned into a board game? Is it just as tragic? I have a feeling that it could really... Well, it could go either way. It could go either way. I felt on knife edge. And I think the game they picked really fits to a board game theme at the very least. So it was a smart move on that front. But we will... I guess... There's probably a few other examples of video games that have gone to board games as well. Yeah, right. Yeah. No, we'll get to that. First up, no Baldur's Gate 3. We did not get a PlayStation in since last recording, so
did not.
No updates there. I have been dying a lot in a tin can.
In the vacuum of space.
Yes. Usually from hypoxia, so lack of oxygen or too much CO2, or from overpressurization.
Overpressurization.
Yeah.
Crush yourself to death.
Effectively, yeah. I don't know why, but so the scenario I'm on has all the different events, and one of the events is going too close to a singularity, which increases the pressure of the pod.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what thing it is, but like it's the one that's killed me every single time. I made it through two asteroids, the cold event, the electricity event. I had about 4 minutes left on the clock, and I got this black hole event, and I just couldn't get. I think what it was I was distracted from the last event, fixing that up, that I didn't see the warning to go turn the pressure, and I haven't actually ever beaten a black hole yet. You know, this game is very interesting because like these events are like a dichotomy. Like, there's like do everything. And then when you do the sun event, you do nothing.
You have to just
sit there and just wait for it to go. Because like you have to sort of like the only way to do it is like the part, there's two events. There's the cold and the hot, right?
Yep.
And both of them affect the atomic pile. When it's too cold, it doesn't produce any power.
Yep.
So you got to turn everything off and just run the bare minimums because that's all you can get by.
Yeah.
You know, and change some batteries in the beacon other pod.
Yeah.
But the other one, the hot one, everything gets too hot. So you have to reduce power usage so the pile isn't as hot and then the atmospheric condenser can keep up with the temperature. So it's sitting in the dark.
Stinking hot in the dark.
Yeah, that's it. And then it's on, trying to fix it before you eventually get crushed by the black hole.
Yeah.
But like it actually like messes with the gravity and stuff. So I didn't have gravity on from the previous event.
Yeah.
I hadn't turned it back on yet. And so I couldn't get to the panel to turn it on because it was pulling me the opposite direction. All the drawers open for everything, you know, it all's like,
that's cool.
Yeah, it is. It's like the whole thing's been tipped on its side, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm close, but yeah, it's, I got better strats now. I did a little bit of reading, a bit more understanding of these events and stuff like that. Like with the electrical one, you have to go around and pull the power connectors out.
Yeah.
So that means that nothing gets destroyed because it's not connected to power. We run it off batteries instead.
Yeah.
You know, but then when it finishes, you need to go
plug it back in.
And where are all the parts? They're all over the place because you've had gravity off and they've just been floating around in the air kind of thing, you know. And the tanks need to be refilled and the batteries need to be, it's just like, it goes on. So maybe next week I'll have that 30-minute one beat, but it's getting long now. Like 30 minutes is quite a long time to survive for, it feels
it does.
It's usually because it's longer than 30 minutes as well. I definitely survived for 30 minutes, but then the beacon running for 30 minutes as well.
Yeah. Like
you've really got to be on that beacon at all times.
Yeah.
And it chews the batteries. Oh, my God.
Of course it does.
Of course it does. Of course it does. Did you unlock everyone in Lamplighter's League?
No.
Did you?
No.
Okay.
So I've been playing a lot. I played a lot. Playing on easy mode, and because I've already finished the game, I understand how the characters work really well.
Yeah.
And I'm super enjoying it. I'm having so much fun because I'm feeling really powerful.
Yeah.
I'm trying different builds. My plan was to try different characters.
Oh.
But this is a massive failing of the game. So I actually did a bit of research, and the game basically got ditched by Paradox Studios after a week of release.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it came out in October, I think.
Yeah.
And in December, just before Christmas, December 13th, they said, this is our last patch. Thanks for playing and loving our game, but Lamplighter's League is dead. And so it will let you keep playing it, but yep. it's not changing from this date. So okay. Paradox really bailed on it, which is a shame because it has so many fantastic things about it.
Mm.
One of the things that they got horribly wrong, and it's so obvious in the second playthrough,
yeah.
is they don't give you the characters early enough.
That's what you said before.
Yeah, the game ramps up in the difficulty.
Yeah.
I probably said this last episode, did I? The game ramps up in the difficulty so you don't get to learn how to play with your new character.
Yeah, yeah. It's a classic problem of like these unlocking them halfway through because you learn how to play the game with the current set of characters and then it gets too hard. You can't bring them on because you don't know how to play them. They're too low a level, you know, or things like that. It's a common mistake the games seem to make.
It's a silly mistake because I really wanted to play with different characters this time, but it's... So... I unlocked, the first character I unlocked was a new character.
Yeah.
So, yay.
Okay.
Then the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth characters I unlocked were the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth characters I unlocked last game.
Yeah, okay.
So, they're RNG.
So, you don't even get a choice, see?
No, you don't get a choice of who to rescue.
Yeah.
The game chooses who to rescue.
I think you could easily mitigate that by letting people choose.
Yeah, every single time it's a rescue operation, it's two. It's a choice of two every time. Even just a choice of two. There's only 10 heroes. Only 10 characters.
Yeah.
A choice of two every time would mean you could get variety. Two very full gameplays.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really big mistake. The characters do play very differently. So now I'm playing with a stress build character.
Yeah.
So the one character that got new stresses the enemies out and gets them to psychologically fall over. So the dudes that have like 280 hit points.
Yep.
They've only got 13 stress. So if I can hit their stress, much harder to hit their stress than is their hit points.
Yeah.
But with a specific stress build, you can stress them out and then one hit kill them.
Wow.
For 0 action points. So, I'm still really enjoying it.
That's different.
I'm enjoying the story because I'm playing with different characters. The story's being revealed differently. I'm remembering bits of the story. I'm really noticing the changes that they made between the version that I played first and this patched version. There's the new events. To add a little bit to the game, but not a lot.
Mm.
There's new equipment, but of course, the equipment... This is an interesting trade-off, is there will always be 4 or 5 missions to run on the world map, and you can only run one. You have to choose one mission. So there'll be really lame missions with lame rewards that stop the doomsday clock cranking up too much. And then there'll be a mission with an awesome reward, but doesn't stop the doomsday clock.
Yeah.
So that's a really interesting mechanic. You've got to balance that. That's a really cool bit of kit. You also don't know what that does. So there's been 3 new bits of kit in this game. Well, that's the other thing I wanted to say. This game, I've finished the game completely. I've seen 1 new enemy that I never saw before in my first playthrough.
Oh.
And I've seen 3 new bits of kit that I never saw in my first playthrough.
Okay.
So, when the new kit comes out, it says this is what you're going to receive. You're going to receive a power medallion. But it doesn't tell you what it does. It's
right. So you really got to take the guess.
And the game, it actually takes too long to run a mission to just run the mission to find out what it is.
Yeah.
And then decide whether you want to play it. You can't rush the missions. It's very hard to rush the missions. Well, you can't. I say you can't. You can. I can't because I'm a completionist. You could rush the missions if you try really hard. I have been trying the stealth mechanic more this playthrough too, and they actually didn't quite get that right.
Yeah.
So you've got 3 options. Your 3 different character classes have 3 different ways of stealth taking people down.
Yeah.
And they've set up most maps that you can't actually stealth your whole way through the map, which is interesting. Obviously, that's not a stealth game.
No,
that's just a little element that they've added in.
Yeah.
But I tried to stealth all the way through a couple of maps just to see if I could, and there's no way. You just can't do it. So they could have implemented the stealth stuff a bit more or dropped it out altogether. I know it does add a little bit, but it adds enough to want you to do it more, but it's not nuanced enough to be worthwhile doing it more. There's that.
It's a tool, not a way of life.
Yeah, exactly. And I read today, trying to research why I couldn't get the 10th character, I read that there's missions that block each other. So you've got to find 4 keystones and 3 bits of kit. So there's 7 missions.
Oh, you
have to appear on the map. Okay. And apparently the heroes appear on all of those 7 locations.
Okay.
So what I think I've done is I've got 1 mission left that I haven't done yet, 1 keystone to the tower that I haven't got yet.
Yep.
And I think that's where my last character is going to appear.
Nice.
So I've got to go and do that, get the keystone, and then just wait for the character to appear. And then I'll get all 10. But I don't think, I've been really, really enjoyed it, but I don't think I'm going to play through again on hard difficulty.
No.
I think I could do it now. I understand all the game mechanics.
But
I understand how everything interacts much better than I did on my first playthrough. I'm seeing how much depth there is to the game. It's really interesting. You just stressed and panicked the whole first playthrough. You don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
When you understand what's going on, you can see the nuance and you can work out that guy's going to do this to his buddy,
yep.
which means he's going to do that to me, which is going to cascade to do this.
Yep.
So I don't want to take out that guy who's the obvious threat. I want to take out that guy hiding over there because
yeah.
he's the one that makes everything fall over.
Yeah.
So that's okay. really interesting.
That's really cool. I guess if you don't want to play on hard and then get the same.
Well, no, you'd get annihilated on hard, I think. I really think you would because...
And you kind of, I think when you have like this many characters, you kind of want to pick your best strat and your best people. And you can't yes. do that when you're just randomly no, getting.
Exactly.
So it just becomes a bit more of a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm disappointed that they've, Paradox has binned the game.
Obviously didn't sell enough.
Because I would have liked to, so the report said the subscription service was promising, the subscription service uptake was promising, but actual sales were disappointing.
Right.
So they wrote the whole game off and made it their loss for that quarter and said goodbye.
Yeah.
They honestly sacked half the studio that designed it. And
Yep. Yeah. That's sort of the hard reality, unfortunately,
yeah.
with the industry.
So you probably won't even be able to find it in the $10 bin, but if you can and you like you like these kind of games, I recommend it. It's one of the best ones I've played.
Hmm. Interesting. High price. High price for Lamblighters League. The next one on our list is was supposed to be a co-op game, wasn't it, Tony?
It was, yes.
Yes, yes. So he's like, I've got a game for us to play, Tower Defense. I'm like, oh, excellent. How did I miss this one?
Awesome.
Look down the side. Single player only.
Single player only. Oh, that was a bit of an oversight.
Whoops.
A Siege of Centauri.
I've been given a good whack. I've only got maybe like 3 or 4 missions
left
to go kind of thing, you know.
Yep.
I quite like this Tower Defense. I feel it ticks a lot of the boxes that I like out of them, in that you've got towers, obviously.
Yep.
But then you've also got powers.
Yep.
And so then you've got to do two things. You've got to set the towers up good, but then you've also got to play the map and use those powers correctly to get that advantage, you know.
Yep.
And it's one of those ones where you just, I guess one of those ones, but all of them, you know, obviously tick up a certain amount of currency as you go, and then there's like options to recover more currency with booster towers and stuff like that, which is really cool. But then also there's like structures on the map, which is a bit different. I haven't really seen too much of this, where you have these structures on the map that you've got to protect,
defend as well,
you know, because there's like a metal refinery that you can upgrade to give you more metal, but obviously it's a target on the map you need to protect, you know. Sometimes they sort of ignore it, sometimes they don't. There's some just random outposts which are nothingness, and then there's also a fusion generator for all your abilities and the power that generates from those. So you kind of got two currencies.
Energy for your abilities and metal for your towers.
I like this style of tower defense. It really reminds me of like Kingdom Rush kind of tower defense sort of strategy and stuff. What are your thoughts about it? Is this sort of your sort of thing?
I am absolutely gobsmacked that it's not multiplayer.
Oh.
Because the whole time I was playing the game, I said, there's too many things for me to do. I can't manage everything that I need to do by myself.
There's a lot.
I really want this to be a multiplayer game.
Yeah.
So I actually didn't like it that much.
Yeah.
It's got everything that would make it an excellent game.
Yeah.
Except for two things.
Yeah.
It wrote that the waves go too fast.
It's very...
So there's no prep time. You can't prepare for anything because the waves just go too fast.
That's a Kingdom Rush style of tower defense as well, where it's you get more usually for rushing waves and doing it, which really then the downside with it is, I think there's a point that with this one, it was like a point where I could just win. And then I hit a point where you gotta make a turn where like now you need to optimize your towers. You need to know what's coming out.
Yeah.
And know that, oh, for this over here, I can build these three towers. And then for this, I can just use the troop reinforcements.
Yeah.
That'll leave me enough money to then in the center to use this one here.
Too much micromanagement, and I wasn't enjoying that.
Nah, fair enough. I don't think the style, so I was curious because like, I think the style is a lot different to like grid defense, I think.
Yeah. That was much more defense grid.
Defense grid,
which is more my style of
just towers.
The other thing I was going to say is there's no controlling the map. It's impossible to control the map.
Oh, there's no mazing options.
Options. You don't actually know where, as you said before, you don't know where the goons are going to go.
It's a little bit hard.
So you have to actually play the map and fail. It's one of these ones where you got to play and fail.
Effectively.
And learn, I need to build this tower here.
Yeah.
Okay, now that worked. Now I've beaten that wave. Now the next wave destroys that tower.
Tower.
So I need to build this tower here and that tower there.
Yeah.
Right. And then, I need to build this tower here, that tower there, and that tower there. And I wasn't having fun.
I think doing as that. Well, for a clutch win in these ones, you need to then use all the powers as well.
Yes.
There was one that I did a couple of rounds on, got the starter waves going, and then this huge dreadnought kind of came through and stuff. And so I was like, okay, I've lost my metal refinery, so I'm going to have a few towers left. So I need to make sure that my towers are spread out so they're getting absolute maximum, dingoes. And then, just keep punching out those abilities on cooldown to keep, destroying and using everything. And I had a huge reserve of energy and I didn't get 3 stars or anything, but I did win the map kind of thing because of it. Yeah.
I also didn't like how hard it is to upgrade the towers.
I have not upgraded one tower once in my entire playthrough.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
So I just out of curiosity. Yeah.
I stopped trying to upgrade the towers because it is way too hard. And then I was lost because I didn't know what towers to do.
It's a bit weird. Yeah. I will say that you do get a lot of towers.
Yeah. There's a lot of towers. And the towers all have very specific purposes. I like it.
Very, yeah.
It's got everything that it needs to be a good game. It's all there.
Yeah.
I don't like... So in order to upgrade the towers, you need to upgrade your base first, which gives you nothing other than more hit points for your base.
Yep.
So it costs you...
200 metal.
No, 300 metal to upgrade your base to the first level. It's 300 for the first level and it's 50 for a basic tower.
There's an equipment upgrade you can get for one of your towers that cuts it in half.
Yeah.
That is...
I got it, but it never worked. I don't know if you have to link it to your... command center or something.
No, you just got to have it enabled. And then it's enabled, it should just be there. Because then it cuts it to 150 and then 100 for the metal upgrade.
Which is so much better.
It's a lot better.
Because that 300.
That's brutal. That is brutal.
It's very hard to get to 300 and then have enough towers to actually defend what's coming next.
Yeah.
So, so I built the I love slowing towers. You know how much I love slowing towers?
Yeah.
There's only one tower that slows the enemies and it doesn't start slowing them until it's level 2. So I had to build those towers first.
Oh, they work on level 1.
No, they don't slow them until level 2. You got to get the upgrade. You got to put the upgrade on it, and then you got to upgrade it to level 2 for it to increase the radius to actually hit the lane.
Oh, I mean, okay, so there's positioning. It's limited positioning. It doesn't have a lot of range or anything.
But no, it's the first one, it's 2. You get 2 shots at them slow and then they'll speed up again.
No. Okay. There's a gravity wave generator.
Yeah. I haven't got that. I didn't get that far. I'm talking about the early one.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of. It's a dedicated, it slows everything in the radius.
Right. There's the laser one that also slows them down.
That's a bonus. Yeah. There's also another slowing tower, which is a stun tower, but it hits one target and it stops it dead for 10 seconds.
Yeah, so they want you to play through the whole game and unlock all the towers and then play the game again.
Yeah, go do Endless or something. This is just training for Endless. Yeah, it does have that kind of thing going on.
I would love it if it was multiplayer. I would absolutely love it if it was multiplayer because there would be a lot of back and forth talking. You need to protect here, you need to do this.
Yeah.
But single player, I lost interest in it because it was... I didn't find it hard. I found it unsatisfying.
Yeah.
Because I could win...
Yeah.
But I could only win with 1 star and I didn't get to upgrade any of my towers. And I know what all these towers do at level 1. This is boring.
Yep. So, different. Yeah. It's a different style.
It is definitely a different style. Yeah. I think I was disappointed because I was expecting a little bit more. You can zoom right in and see the graphics and that's really quite nice.
The graphics are good. The sound's pretty good on it too.
Yep.
Yeah.
The abilities are interesting. The towers are interesting.
I think it's just
so fast.
Oh,
when
it's
those
very
flying
fast.
Waves come in.
Oh, man.
And they just ignore the maze and just fly and go, I'm going to go and destroy
this now.
They do
give you the path at least for the flying guys, which is nice at least, you know. But the flying guys, you got to got to always be ready for the next wave. And it is one of those, it's definitely one of the ones where I think you have to, particularly if you want to get 3 stars.
Yeah, you got to know you got to know the maze.
Yeah. Know the maze,
know
the
waves. And know where you need to build your towers.
And then also, to a certain extent, what towers you're going to use. Because you can't...
You've got to pre-plan your towers.
There's sort of 3 anti-shield towers. One's an ignore shields.
Yes.
One's a sort of a... a large range AOE
removes
shield damage, takes it down. Yeah. And then there's one that's a closer range, almost takes out all shields almost immediately every go kind of thing. So three very different applications depending on what sort of towers you're coming through and then that sort of thing. So you have to maybe, and you don't have enough room to take all the towers.
And where on the map you've got the towers too makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
I just hated it when I had this maze going really well and suddenly they're going to go this other direction.
Yeah, you got to be ready for
it. None of them have gone that way yet, but now these guys are going to go that way.
It does tell you, on the top it tells you like this is coming from this side. So you do get all the information you need.
You do get all the information.
But it's a very fast-paced experience.
I think that's the only thing that I really didn't like
about
it.
You'd like it to be able to pause between waves and have a breath.
Well, you can slow down. You can slow down time, but that doesn't help because it slows down your income.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't actually help you do anything.
And it's a limited resource as well that runs out as well.
So if you know what you need to do, I need to do this, this, and this, then you slow down time and you do this, and this.
And that's exactly what knowing the map.
But if you don't know what to do, slowing down time is absolutely useless. Yeah. It just lets you watch yourself lose in slow motion. So it was good for learning the great big juggernauts. Mm. I did slow down time to see what the towers are doing to learn what wasn't working on the juggernaut.
Yeah.
So it was useful for that.
For that, you know, yeah.
But I didn't find the game interesting. I didn't find it engaging and interesting enough to keep experimenting to want to keep going further.
Yeah, yep. And the money economy things in these games are always really interesting because like there's an upgrade for one of the towers where if you rush waves, you get more money.
Yes.
And stuff that. So that can be really beneficial like, if you know that. And if you can sort of like with the extra scavenger towers you get as well.
Yeah.
If you know where you're going to be getting on the maze and you put them in the right spots, they can generate an incredible amount of wealth. And then you get even more money and you do better. So like there's always this little bit, I feel like with these games, there's a little bit of min-maxing at the start to know like this is what I'm going to do. And then once you get that first couple of ways and you're on a good tread, then you can sort of freeform a lot more. You have a lot more options because you have more of that money coming in, and whatnot. It makes a big difference.
I never knew whether to put the towers near my base to defend it or put my towers near the start to try and kill them early. Well,
it depends on where those secondary buildings are along the way and how important you feel
they are, you know,
and whether they're required for the 3-star, whether you worry about the 3-star or not.
Well, I 3-starred like the first 6 missions.
Yeah.
And I went, okay, this is fun. I'm enjoying this. And then I 0-starred the 7th mission and 1-starred the 8th mission and then started.
Yeah. I couldn't let it go. Where it's
the flip. I just couldn't let it go. Why can't I get these stars? What's going on?
Yeah, I just moved on because I figured at some point we'd get more towers.
No damage on the base.
Yeah.
I tried that one 3 times and went, screw this one.
Don't disturb the spiders and you can't put any towers that overlap the spiders and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Once you get more, I guess like what I like about it is that every mission you get an upgrade point.
Yes.
And you can put those upgrade points
wherever you want.
Yeah, any tower, take them off, put them on.
Something else.
So you can fully like customize your builds. I figured for some of those 3-stars earlier on, you probably need some towers with a sort of, there's not like a bunch of solutions for these puzzles. There's probably
there's one solution.
Maybe more than one.
Yeah.
But there's less. There's a way to beat the map kind of thing. I think that's the sort of, that's maybe a difference as well. I think, particularly because when you can't create your own mazes,
yes,
it really sort of changes how that tower defense
mechanism works.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. 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 I'll back and finish it. I've just been doing one map sort of a night to pace myself. Which is enough. Yeah. I feel good after. Like, oh yeah, that one's beaten. Now I start the next one and start to learn. I accept this part of the game. You got to restart.
Yeah.
And I'm really quick to restart. I'm like, okay, that failed. Nick, try again. I'll restart, try again until I get those first ones going. I don't even bother.
Right. Yeah.
And once I get sort of a cup, when I feel confident, I've got a few waves in, I've got maybe those colony upgrades, that first colony upgrade. That's a really good point then to try to like, okay, let's see if I can just wing this and just win it kind of thing.
Yeah. But if 4 get through on the second wave, you think, yeah, this isn't going right.
If I can't even do this, I'm not setting up for success, you know, going on. I really like as well, like I feel there's a good variety of enemies without it being overwhelmingly random stuff all the time. I feel like there's a good throwing different mixtures of different types of enemies on the waves and stuff. I feel like they've got a good mix of for some tower defenses have like too many just really annoying ones. Like they do have one annoying one, which is like I don't know what it is, but when it explodes it stops your towers working.
Oh, right.
For a bit.
Okay, you know, I didn't get up to that one.
It explodes in an AOE effect. And everything gets locked down for a bit kind of
thing.
That's
like the one that you can't use your abilities around. As it moves up the map, it's got this circle and you can't use your abilities in the area of effect of its circle.
Yeah. I've only seen that once kind of thing. But you don't see them, like, they're not like on every single map you get in these ones. Yeah, so it's not like, it's not like always there. Yeah. It's just an occasional, like, this map is going to have lots of flying. This one's going to have lots of, you know, these type of things. So I feel like that's a bit more fun.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah,
Siege of Centauri. I would have liked it if it was multiplayer. I think it would have been... I don't know. It's almost like they wanted to make it multiplayer and then just took it out at the last minute or something. Obviously, it's a lot harder to program for multiplayer.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot more to consider and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, got to keep looking out for that other one. Did drop the first-person tower defense fighting game.
Oh, yes, that we looked at.
It did drop, but it's only got mixed reviews at the moment, so I feel it needs a little bit more time to bake before I go back and look at that again. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, for more strategy, tell us about your offline adventures, your non-electricity gaming.
So Civilization has a long and gloried history on the computer.
Yeah, yeah.
Geez. They have released, ages ago, they released a board game that was terrible. It was actually terrible.
Right.
The original board game was terrible.
They are the example of converting mediums doesn't always work, even if it does seem like, because I feel like Civ is very...
It's kind of a board game, computer game.
You know, kind of thing. Like a really,
So the first one, I played it with my computer gaming, board gaming friends, and we were writing so many house rules to try and get the thing to work, and it just didn't. It was a huge board.
Of course.
It was a much bigger board. So setting up was awesome. Setting up was more fun than setting up Risk.
Yeah, right.
Revealing all the stuff that was hidden was fun, but then once you'd revealed it, then the game went downhill rapidly from there.
Yeah.
So that was no good. But this new one that came out, Sid Meier's Civilization, The New Dawn, it's pretty good. There's competing mechanics, so they've got a lot of the stuff. So there's different civilizations with different civilization powers.
Yep. Be expected, yeah.
It's like a draw system. There's five things you can do.
Okay.
And there's ranking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're playing the expansion pack, which means there's 2 1s.
Oh, of course.
2, 3, 4, 5.
Classic.
There's 5 different types of terrain, and there's 5 things you can do. And when what card you draw, so mountains are number 5, deserts are number 4, forests are number 3, hills are number 2, and grasslands number 1. And depending on what you want to do, do you want to move your caravan? Do you want to trade? Do you want to go to war? Do you want to build a city? Do you want to build just whatever it is? That position on the board determines what hexes you can do it on. So if you're on mountains, you can do it on anything on the board.
Yeah.
Because it's that terrain or lower. Mountains are lower as everything. Deserts are lower as everything, but mountains.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's an interesting balance. There's world wonders that change the game. Mm. There's diplomacy.
Mm.
It doesn't actually feel like Civ 6, the board game. It doesn't feel the computer game.
Probably a good
thing. It is a good thing.
Yeah.
But it's got a lot of the mechanism. Only had a couple of games.
Yeah.
We got the rules horribly wrong in the first game.
Oh,
so
no.
That was a write-off.
Yeah.
That game. Then the next game we played, So the guys I was playing with played 2 more games. They had different experiences in those other 2 games.
Yeah.
Then the next game I played, I was in a terrible position. There's also the expansion packs added more combat. So it's a victory point game.
Oh, yeah.
You draw victory point cards, and you've got to get, there's 5 victory point cards, and you've got to get your token on 4 of the 5 victory point cards, and then you win the game.
Oh, okay. All right.
In the expansion, 2 of them are military victory points.
Okay.
And so it really leans the game towards, it benefits the military people.
So with the victory points, do you claim a victory point, or can people claim it as well? Like it's just the first of 4?
So there's two options on the non-combat cards.
Yeah.
So, like, have a world wonder from each era or control 15 tiles around water, for example.
Yeah.
So you can choose either of those paths to go down.
Yeah.
Once you've got your point on that card,
yep,
it stays for the rest of the game.
And nobody else can claim that?
Yeah, they can. Yeah, everyone can claim everyone,
So that's the same as the computer game then as well. Right, but if there's 2 victory points that are army-based, then you're going to want to go.
Well, there are. This is what I found. So the expansion pack changed the way combat worked. And so there's forts on the game now, and 1 victory point for capturing 1 fort and 2 victory points for capturing 2 forts.
Okay.
So if you can capture 1 fort, you're strong enough to capture two forts.
Yeah.
And if you captured two forts, that's half the game, half your victory points there. And now you've probably got a stronger military than everybody else in the game.
Yeah.
So I lost the second game.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't paying attention. I was getting annoyed because I was surrounded by mountains, so I couldn't do anything. And this guy came in off the map. It's a map reveal thing. Oh. It's not a fixed board. It's a hex board.
Yeah, okay.
Came in from off the map and flew over my units and attacked my city. Captured my world wonder. So I was trying to build world wonders to get victory points.
Yeah.
And the player that was to my left, to my right,
yeah,
built the world wonder that I needed the same turn that I was going to build it. So then I couldn't build it. There was one victory point gone. But you had just have to have two purple. So there were three world wonder victory points in the game. There was have a world wonder from each era.
Yeah.
Have two world wonders from the same era or have two purple world wonders. And I had a purple ancient era world wonder. And when he captured that, it gave him two purple world wonders, a world wonder from each era, and two of the same.
Oh.
So all he had to do was capture my city and he won the game. Got three victory points immediately.
Oh, that's a bit.
And he actually didn't win. This sounds like sour grapes, but because I had to go, so we were trying to get towards the end of the game. Although we started at 9 in the morning and we were still playing at 2:30. I said, I have to leave at 3. So I kind of stopped concentrating, which is why I didn't see that he was coming in the back door.
Still, that's a lot of victory points to knock off in one round.
Yeah, but my racial ability was I got +3 if I got attacked on +3 to defend on grassland, which I didn't take into account into my final defense. So I actually even won. I actually didn't even lose the fight.
Right.
But I had to go anyway, so
it was just, you know, whatever.
But it just leaves a sour taste in your mouth when you know that I shouldn't have lost.
That's sort of the problem with
by forfeit sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really complicated game sometimes. Yes, trying to remember all the rules.
There's a lot of different rules in the way they interact is interesting, and all of the it's got that civilization aspect where your civilization breaks one of the existing rules.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to take in. I think my next game, I will play it again. I still enjoy it. The board looks great. The civs look great. It's got all the Civ 6 graphics.
Okay.
They're all on there.
Yep.
And the little plastic pieces are really nice. It's nice and colourful.
Yep.
So I think the next game I play will be more fun. And I think I'm going to suggest that we don't have one victory point for one fort. You only get one victory point for capturing two forts. And then you have to have three other things.
Yeah.
Because, as I said, if you can capture one fort, you can capture two forts. And it's very hard to make them far enough away from each other for it to be hard to capture two.
Yeah.
Because you can't build your cities close to a fort. You can't build your cities close to an independent, what are they called? City state. You can't build your city next to a city state.
Yeah.
So the map actually feels really cramped, even though it's quite big.
Big.
So, So it's much, 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 it's like 25 times better than the original board game that I played.
Yeah.
Definitely worth playing again. And I think the expansion pack makes it better than the original game. Mm. The original game just was that missing a few things that the expansion pack has adjusted.
Yeah.
So, it's expensive. But if you see it in the discount bin or someone you know has got it, it's worth a play.
Worth a play.
It doesn't feel enough like the computer game for you to be able to bring your knowledge of the computer game.
Into the board game to win,
but it has the same kind of feel. You build cities, you build districts, you trade.
I mean, that's what you want. Expand, that's what you exploit, out of the, you know.
Exterminate. Explore, expand, exploit, exterminate. It definitely has that.
Now they're done. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. Well, Civ 6 board game. Crazy. Yeah.
Civilization and New Dawn, I think it's called.
Any other? I think I've seen some Plant vs. Zombie games out there because that thing's just gotten like, that's one's got TV shows and movies. It's gone like complete crazy, reverse, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Any other like.
Oh, well, what about the new Fallout Netflix series? Surely that's something you've.
Oh, it's on my radar. Yeah. It comes out from when we're recording this podcast soon. Friday.
Yeah. Okay. So it'll be out when you're listening to it.
Yes. It will be out. It'll already dropped. Yeah. So I'm interested to see that one. It feels like, again, like with these sort of conversions, what they're not doing is not telling a story that already exists.
Yeah.
The Fallout world is big enough. You can tell whatever story you want. There's plenty out there. But it feels like it's got the right, it's going to be hard, but like the right look.
Yes,
and the right
definitely looks like Fallout.
The humor angle on it as well, because Fallout is very bleak, but doesn't take itself too seriously, and that's a really hard.
Yeah, it's a post-apocalyptic wasteland. It really is a wasteland.
Yeah,
but yes, there's the Vault Boy is
all
the stupid comics
and stuff, you know, kind of thing. So I've really got a good job Hopefully they do a good job on that. We'll see. We'll report back on that one when it drops. But any other like video game board games?
Well, there's Armello, the League of Geeks game Armello, which was literally a board game turned into a computer game. Now they've gone backwards and they've turned the board game in the computer game into a board game. So it's interesting. And it's 100%. It looks exactly like the computer game.
Yeah.
So okay. That, I actually would prefer to play the board. I backed it on Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah.
Played it a few times. It was interesting, but not as interesting as I was hoping. I think I would have played the board game a lot more. And again, the miniatures look great. And yeah, good production quality.
I have, in similar kind of vein, I've got...
there's a Fallout board game too, speaking of Fallout.
There's a Fallout board game. Yeah, of course I have, yeah.
Long time listener Pete from Podromos has got Fallout in the board game.
Okay. Yeah. What sort of game they build out of that? Such a different...
He says it's pretty much one of those games where you're playing by yourself on the board with other people.
Yeah, right.
So you have to watch, if you want to win, you have to not only look at your own game, but watch what the other people are doing
as well, which is very Fallout as well.
Very easy to lose because you're not paying attention to what the other players are doing. Yeah.
Fascinating. That's really interesting. On the board game going to video game side of things, I was looking for Carcassonne.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Apparently, it doesn't exist anymore. Like, I used to have an app on my phone that was great to play it. That app is now defunct.
Oh.
And the new one apparently is terrible. I think I've seen it on there, but it looks like a scam.
You know, you
see a game and you look like this, but I think that's the official one now. It's terrible. And same with Catan as well. They've broke it, like whoever owns the license now.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. Added a bunch of microtransactions and stuff to it, you know. Because Carcassonne on the phone was really good.
Microtransactions ruin things.
They really do, don't they?
And you don't need it in a board game. Oh, there's no microtransactions in the actual board game. Why put microtransactions in the electronic version of the actual board game?
I don't know. It's really weird.
Yeah.
Well, it's money. It's just, you know, money seeking. I guess because some people buy apps maybe is probably the problem.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was looking for more games to play during our trip to Malaysia later on this year.
Yeah.
I think it was a flight and stuff. But I did find Kingdom Two Crowns.
Oh, yeah.
Is on the tablet, a couple of controllers. That'll kill a few hours on the plane, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. So that's going to be a go. So I was just looking around for other things. I'm like, oh, Carcassonne, we could play that on the tablet. And nope, doesn't exist. Oh, sad.
Yeah, I find the electronic board games not as much fun as playing the actual board
game. No, I absolutely always prefer the board games, you know. I got Ascension, which is still on there, which is like a deck building game.
Yeah.
That one's not bad on the phone, just from I don't have to count the points.
Yes. Yes, the computer will do that for you.
Kind of thing, you know. Yeah. And I thought Carcassonne would be good because it's really easy to have on it. You can both play on the tablet. You don't need, there's no, like, I need to see cards or anything. You just tap the tiles and just play kind of thing. It would work really well. Yeah, but generally speaking, I'm not a fan. I like to.
Yeah, I got Scythe during the pandemic. I got a 4-player pack of Scythe for like $15 or something. Okay. Played it once and I've never played it again. It's interesting. And I can see that it may have been okay if we were playing it in person, but.
Yeah.
Electronically,
it didn't
grab me.
Yeah. There's another one I've got, Romy Cub, with all the little tiles.
Oh, make. I don't get that game.
Oh, it's all just
Canasta.
What are they called when they're like, Canasta has melds?
Yeah.
It's all about making melds on the table, but you got kind of a combined melding board that you can play on. And there's a bit of house rules about what you can take around and move this piece to this meld and this meld over here whether you can break a meld or not. You know, there's a whole bunch of category around that. But effectively, you got to just go out, just get rid of all your tiles into the melds, and that's about it. You know, there's a rule for how much you need to go out in the first meld, and that's it, really. It's actually a really simple game. But the online version is super slick, but you got to pay per match.
Oh, what?
So you got to buy coins, and then it's like 100 coins for every, like, if you want to have like a person-to-person match, you got to pay.
That's outrageous. 100
I know, right?
That is outrageous.
I can't remember how much the coins were. I don't think the coins were too insane, but if you were playing it a bit, you could, like, I feel it's, I don't know, like, there's no.
Pay to play.
Yeah, it is. It's more like, it kind of cuts, it's almost more like, like gambling thing. I don't know if you can win coins. I never actually play. I've loaded up a few times. Going, oh yeah, I want to play a game. And I'm like,
you gotta pay.
I've still got my 1,000 coins there. I'm like, that's only 10 games, and I don't even want to engage with it because I'm like, then I'll lose my coins and I don't want, you know, sort of thing. Yeah. So I don't even bother with it.
Yeah. That's the whole consumable. Do I save the consumable for when I really need it?
Yes. Yeah.
And then you finish the game and you've never used a consumable the whole game.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
The same thing. You
know? And then I figured like on the plane, we probably can't even play a game.
No, because it'll be online only.
You know, sort of thing. So point, unless the unless the plane's got Wi-Fi.
Most planes have Wi-Fi these days. I don't know how that works.
Oh, just bigger antennas, that's all, to reach the ground. The
belly of the plane.
Yeah, I guess
so. Shielded so the cockpit doesn't get interfered.
Oh, that's not a thing.
I know it's not a thing. But they still try and pretend it is.
Yeah, I think it's just easier to say, oh, to finish with the plane than to say, look, when 300 people's phones that I came to a cell tower going at 700 kilometers an hour, it crashes the cell towers.
Yeah.
Like, please don't do that kind of thing. It's not going to work anyway kind of thing, you know. It's sort of... It interferes
with the cockpit.
It's just way easier, isn't it?
You know? Put fear of your own life into it.
Yeah, that's it.
Then you'll do then what you'll we get say. On there.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I have one little update on Chaos Bane.
Yes.
Well, because I'm playing it and I would say I like it. I enjoy the combat-y fighting parts of it. Yeah. What I'm finding I'm not enjoying, and this is not a criticism of the game, but there is just a lot of stats, right? There's a lot of stats on the guys. The gear has stats.
Uh-huh.
There's like the research has a bunch of stats that it modifies and changes, and it's like, oh, this is a lot. It's all got weird names. I still can't remember. There's like four classes. There's like the scouty guy, the tanky guy, the shooty guy, and
the psychic,
the healer, I guess psychic healer guy, right? I couldn't tell you what the names
There's
are.
There's eight classes actually. Yeah, when I locked the four advanced classes,
and like the Justicar and the Purgator, I'm like, that's. And so when I get the requisitions at the end of the match, and I'm like, do I want a guy or do I want this gear? And I'm like, I have no clue if that gear is A, better than what I've got. See, useful to anyone on my teams. Yeah. I don't know if the guy that I'm picking is someone I already have one of as well.
So here's a hint. Never pick a guy.
Oh, okay.
It's never beneficial to pick a guy.
Oh, that.
So only if you're struggling to keep your guys alive is it beneficial to ever pick a guy.
Okay.
You'll get rewarded with guys as the story progresses anyway. You get more of the special dudes.
Okay.
Work out what type of character you want to play.
See, I don't...
So do you want to play the two-handed hammer guy? Do you want to play the two-handed sword guy? Do you want to play the dual sword guys? Work out what you want and stick with that gear.
And
makes it so much easier to choose what gear.
And then just pick one character to be like an Uber and the rest of them just get whatever they get kind of thing. Is that what you're saying?
No, you pick each character.
Oh, yeah.
So you work out, you look at the skill tree. So you're going to suffer.
And then all the skill trees.
Yeah, you're going to suffer from not... You need to read the skill tree, work out what path you want to go.
Yeah.
Then work out which bit of kit goes with that path and then stick to it.
Okay. And
Or you play open-ended until you find a fantastic bit of kit, which happens quite early in the game.
Yeah.
You can find... I found
and then just base your whole...
two-handed hammer that stunned them.
Yeah.
So I built my whole build on that guy around stunning and he would just go stun.
Yeah.
And if the enemies are stunned, they can't damage you. So
yeah. I think
that's the way I played it.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. This is not a criticism of the game. It's more about me
as a player. Yeah.
There's like so much knowledge you need to get into. And it doesn't have, say, like, for example, flip this over to like Oxygen Not Included, right? Incredibly complicated game, but it has enough tricks to like draw me in to make me to spend the time to learn it all with this. I'm not feeling it as much.
You're not as engaged with Warhammer.
Well, I love Warhammer. I love the stories and stuff, and I do enjoy that part of it. I do enjoy the Warhammer-y bits to it. That's all great. It's probably one of the things that probably like dragging me on. These weird names and stuff were just some random new IP, I'd be so alienated by it.
Yeah.
But like I have no seeds, even though I did a seed carrying mission, so I can't do anything with that. I have not enough servitors, so I can't work on my ship.
What mission are you up to?
I think I'm like, what happened most recently? I think I'm on like the third blooming of the seeds, like the third time that the seeds are popped up to be able to go
yeah,
around.
Okay. So that's that. I agree with you. That's a definite failing with the game.
I think you mentioned this as well, that you got with the start
you
of the game.
Suddenly you get swimming, drowning in seeds. So and you then think you seeds are so crucial at the start of the game.
Yeah.
Because you see there's this resource. And yeah. This resource does amazing things. Oh, there's a seed. I've got to get it.
Yeah.
But after about mission 12, there's more seeds. I can throw away seeds.
Your time on the research are going to be the limiting factor, not how many seeds you have.
So that is actually bad. They shouldn't have introduced the seeds as early as they do. I do agree with that.
Because
that makes you chase them when you really don't need to be chasing the seeds
and
at
I
all.
Tried to, I thought I brought one back, but apparently I mustn't have because I didn't have it in there. But then they've got the little icon saying, go here and do this, but I can't do anything. And it's like, it's really annoying.
We'll have a look at that when we're finished and I'll see what's going on.
Yeah, okay.
And the servitors are a pain in the neck. My whole second playthrough, all I did was go to missions with servitor rewards.
Right, just so you
that's
can get
the way
those.
The game is designed.
Yeah.
There's three things you want to do and you only have enough servitors to do one for the entirety of the game.
Yeah.
And then you just get enough servitors to do it and then they'll give you a mission where they'll give you an event where all your servitors are corrupt and you lose half of them. I don't know if they've done that on purpose. It's clearly the way the game is designed.
Weird.
Which is annoying.
Yeah, okay.
So you got to work out what you want to do. You won't be able to build up everything you want to build up. So work out what you want to do and focus on that.
Yeah, okay. I'll keep going because I'm enjoying the fight and the combat and all that bits
when
are
you
good.
When you get a good warrior that you like, the combat is really, you personalize that warrior.
Yeah.
And I find the combat was really engaging.
Yeah.
Particularly when you get to the tough fights and then your build just shines.
Yeah.
And you think, take that, Demons of Nurgle.
Yeah. All right. So I need to do that. And then I need to look for servitor rewards in particular. Because, I've only got three. And the next piece of thing, the cheapest next bit is like 12. And I'm that's a huge, that's a huge gulf to bridge.
So on my second playthrough, I just saved up my servitors until I built the bit that generated servitors every turn.
Oh, there's a thing on the ship.
That's the only thing I concentrated at the start. Just get the ship to generate its own servitors. It still didn't generate enough.
No.
But at least...
That's a constant.
Yeah, at least it's a constant small amount coming in.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Particularly if they keep destroying them on you as well.
There's about three events.
Yeah.
One where you lose all of them.
Oh, God.
One where you lose half of them. And I think then there's often ones where you can give that. There's a choice of things. Give up a warrior or give up a bit of gear or give up 10 servitors.
Oh, okay. Yep. All right. Well, I'll keep
plugging away.
Keep plugging away. Once again, it's fun to just do a mission, kind of thing, and then just put it down again. Just kind of do another mission kind of thing. I don't find there's not a lot required
mission after mission after mission.
Yeah. And I do like having a couple of games like that, like Tin Can, where I can just go and do a run.
And you don't have to worry about the story.
Yeah, kind of.
The story's not that complex.
Yeah. Because I'm doing, I'm also playing another new game called, what was it, After Image? I was playing it when you rocked up After Image, which is a Metroidvania game, which is right up my alley. And it's looking pretty decent so far, but... Oh my God, so much story.
Yeah.
I don't care.
You've got to keep playing it regularly, otherwise you forget what's happened before.
And I skipped over the intro not realizing it must have been it's very anime.
Yeah.
So it's very Japanese. Yeah, so I should have recognized a huge long intro that I've missed and so now I'm I don't even understand. Like, rather than skipping me over to the part where my character is involved, rather than the 15 minutes of backstory about these gods that I don't care about, it just skips to the start. And then the character starts talking about these events that just happened. I'm already an alienated by this from the get-go. Okay, I have no idea what's going on. Who cares? And then there's heaps of, talking to people. Yeah. And I'm like, I just want to run around a map and kill things. Yeah. Like, you don't need anything more.
I don't know. So Triangle Strategy was like that.
Too much story.
It was 30 minutes of story before you get to the next battle map. So I just skipped the entirety of the story.
I just
went from battle map to battle map to battle map. I don't know why. Yeah, there must be an element of people that love that.
I mean, to be honest, the story didn't grab me from the beginning because it kind of just reeked of just one of those... And the gods got angry and did
something.
They always
do.
I'm already so high end. Is it? Not that I don't like those stories, and I don't like stories about gods and them wreaking havoc on stuff. I've plenty of stuff, but it's got to be good, right? And this game has no credit with me on knowing if they're telling a good story. I'm not buying this game because it's an RPG where the story is going to be good. I bought it because it's supposed to be a good Metroidvania game, not because of it. So it putting a lot of emphasis on story doesn't interest me.
It could be a good Metroidvania game with an interesting story and you'd love it.
Yeah, but if it was a good Metroidvania with a whatever story, it'd still be great.
Yeah, you'd still love it. Yeah.
Exactly. That's not the defining factor that I'm looking for, kind of thing. And sometimes like the story can be fun and have enjoyable moments or whatnot.
Chaos Pain is a great example. The story's not going to win any Pulitzer Prize.
No.
But it's the game that you're playing.
Yeah.
It's just enough story to hold the game together.
For me, what I like about the story in Chaos Gate is just the bedding in of the lore of Warhammer.
Yes.
You know, because it's like, it's like Forgotten Realms. There's so much of it.
Yeah.
They just talk about things casually and they're like, oh, well, this carries the weight of like so many decisions and stories and build up to these kind of things. You just feel it like through the story, like all these little references and stuff. And I've not read a lot of Warhammer stuff directly, but I've certainly like been exposed to enough of it that I'm like, oh, learning little bits and pieces about the gods and the chaos and the warp and what they do. And, you know, the whole thing just seems like, I don't know how any of it works in the end. Like, it feels like the whole thing is like, should be.
Well, it's just eternal war. I don't know. Unsustainable for like, a start.
What's going on? You know? But, you know, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
In the grim darkness of the future, there is only war.
Yeah. And psychers, apparently.
Yeah.
And techno priests living forever
and
as well.
Daemons.
Yeah.
And the Chaos War.
So creepy. Yeah. And the skulls everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah. Story, sometimes yes.
Sometimes no.
No.
Yeah, so really, Tyranny was a good example of where there was quite a bit of story, but it was added to the game and you wanted that you were interested.
No.
The story kind of, the game played as you were getting the story revealed to you, whereas when there's this half an hour of exposition and you're just watching a movie, I'd rather actually watch an episode of Stargate or something than
I know.
Watch half hour of you telling me what's going on.
I'm running around and I kind of like talk to someone. I'm like, I've got a thing that I'm doing at the moment and now I've got to stop and talk to this person and click. And always like, it's never like easy to skip past it either. Like, you know, you got to like press the button and then you can't just quickly go through.
Click,
you got to wait.
Click. You got to hold. Skip.
So after it might be another Metroidvania going to the bin.
Right.
So maybe it's story this time, not being too hard or being weird or whatnot.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see next time. But until then, thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Luke.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the internet.